his song, son, we just sung. Talking about in that last verse where we struggle. You know, we struggle each and every day of our life as Christians. But even with all the struggles that we face during the day and, you know, all the ridicule that we may receive and trying to live the Christian life, is nothing. It's nothing compared to his love to us. He loves us that much. And I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to just to have a little patience. Because something that I don't think no one here at the church knows, but maybe Brother Bill, I said something to him about it. I have to come down here. After Brother Poobie passed away, I was coming back from South Boston one afternoon. Me and Brother James Albert. No, it was me and Brother Royce where it was at. We went down there to see his uncle. One of his uncle or cousin or something. And was coming back. And as I drove and I passed the church, I went and I took him back where he was at and where his car was and let him off out. And I was aiming to leave there and go back home. But as I left Hardy's for him to pick up his car, I took off and I drove, and this is where I ended up. He's right there in the parking lot. And I got on my face before God right there on them steps, right there on the bottom two steps. And I prayed for God to help his church. And I prayed that if there's anything at all that I could do, and I just to help do anything. Because I know that y'all was going to be, some of you are going to be without a father, and some without a husband at the time, and the rest of you is going to be without a pastor and a friend. And you know, I was talking to the Lord all about it, which the Lord knew everything. God knew all that. And I did not know. I didn't come down here to pray for the church to call me. I asked me if I'd come and help them out and preach. I just prayed for the church. And I don't know, ever since then I've had a burden for churches. And I've had a burden for the people that's in the churches. It's in the congregation, because I know the building is not the church. It's the people that's in it that makes up the church. And I prayed and I asked the Lord to really help you. I've never, that I know of in my ministry, I've never been in that type of situation or anything where I would lose my pastor by death. he wouldn't be here no longer with us. But I have lost a father, my natural father. He got killed back in 58, January the 1st, 1958. And lost my, and my stepfather passed away in May 1983. I think it's right before my birthday or somewhere along in there. So I know what the loss is as far as a child losing the family. As far as losing a mother, I don't know about that because my mother's still with me. But in saying all of that, I don't know, something happened to me that day. Looked like every church that I went by that I knew that was struggling or whatever, and they had a pastor and everything, I would just stop. And I'd pull into the driveway and sometimes I'd sit in my automobile, and sometimes I would just get outside and just get on the porch and pray. You know, Danville itself has been a hard town for a long time for people and for pastors and preachers to get along one with another. And I asked the Lord that afternoon here, please help me to get along with everyone. You know, it's not just because of, yes, they may believe the Bible a little different than what I've been taught and what God has showed me. But as long as we believed in the core principle that it took the blood of Jesus, it took his blood that was shed at Calvary to save us. And if they believed in that, I can fellowship with them. I won't get no arguing with nobody about the Bible. Because see, we just have just enough to where we can be able just to go along in life and being happy. Because being a Christian and not being happy, I think that's got to be the most miserablest individual that I know of. But I did talk to Brother Bill, and I just called him, asked him about the church, how it was doing, and I told him any way at all I could help him. Talked to Brother Buddy. And when Brother Bill called me that last time at the house, it shouldn't have been a shock, but it was. He just asked me just to come and fill in. But you don't know how much I have thought about in times past and just giving up as far as not pastoring anymore or preaching anymore. That I would go and I'd go to a church and I'd help them in the work good. I'd help them teach if they needed to teach you, visit, something like that. You see, God knows. Just like I've said time and time again before, and y'all think, I've heard some of y'all say it too, God's not too late and he's not too early. He's right on time. Right on time when people are getting to the point of giving up, that's when he shows up. And I do thank y'all allowing me and being your friend and being your pastor. And I don't take it lightly. I don't. Because I know that I'm not going to do everything right. I know that. But I'm going to try my very best to please the Lord. And I love each and every one of you. You don't know how much I do. But I do. I know I haven't got around to everybody's house or whatever and visited everybody. But right now, I reckon I'd be more focused on trying to visit other people that's not in church. Because I know who I can count on. And I know the Lord knows who he can count on here at Faith Baptist Church. You've kept it together with the Lord's help. And I don't really think in knowing you and each one of you, as much as y'all love this church, and as much as you love God, I don't think you would want me to take my time out during the day if the Lord has spoke to me about going and visiting someone that's not in church. Then say, I'd rather for him come over here and visit me. I'm going to get to you. I'm going to come, and I may not even come into your house, but I'm going to come around to where all of y'all live at. We went the other day and rode down the road up here where Nancy and them live. And as we turned off the road, I saw a young lady walking, but I didn't really know what time it was, so I didn't know if it was her or not. But Brother Bill says, "There's Julia." So we stopped, and we asked if she wanted a ride, so we took her up, and we picked her up, and we took her home. You know, doing little things like that for people means a whole lot. You can't just go out here and just pick up anybody. Not today. I hate to say it. I would love to be able to go out here and pick up somebody just walking up down the road and give them a lift. But I go back to what my mother-in-law told me many, many, many times. She said, "Son, I will remember this. If God give you a head that's got some brains in it, and it's just not just for a hat rack, it's for you to listen and to you, and for you to weigh out things." She had a whole lot of wisdom about her, but I do. And my burden is for this church. I'm like you. I know each one of y'all wanted to grow. You wanted to grow. You want these pews full. That's what I want. I want to see the pews full up here, and I want to see the Sunday school rooms down there overflowing. Because see, that's what the vision that I have. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it says, talking to the people. Where there's no vision, the people will perish. And I think he's talking to me and you, the Christians. If we don't have a vision, and we all got to have a vision. He don't just say, "Well, won't you just stick your hand in the sand of the day and just worry about this very moment." That's all we can look to. But he tells us to have a vision. And my vision is just not stopping there. My vision is for this church to grow and outgrow it, start other churches, and we get to the point when it started churches and they still outgrow, then they can go and they can start other churches. And then we may have to end up knocking the walls out or whatever, spreading out. I don't know. Well, see, I don't know what the mind of God is, but God's word does tell us that we must have the same mind as God. He tells us that. And I think that's where that vision comes from. Because you know that God's got a vision. How many of you believe that God has a vision for Faith Baptist Church? I know He does. Just like I was talking to Brother Bill the other day. We don't know why things happen the way they do. But one thing about it was God. He has our best interest at heart. He wants to make us happy. See, He knows exactly what's going to make us happy. We think we do. But we don't. Because we don't know that the things that we think that will make us happy, after we done got it, then we're going to be miserable. Why? Because what we grabbed a hold to then, it makes us happy for a little season. But then, the season passes. Then what used to make us happy, that doesn't make us happy anymore. So we got to go a little bigger and a little bigger. But God knows what makes us happy. You know what I believe that God knows that for the happiness for each one of us here tonight? It's 8 of us. You know what I believe that God, now I'm just speculating. I don't really know. But I think I do. The way God sees it right now, what will make us the happiest people that we know of in Pennsylvania County, the state of Virginia, the city of Danville, and probably in the United States of America, is to see souls starts coming in and walking, not even sitting down, but come in and come to the altar. And say, I've heard some good things about the church. I've heard that the people stayed when the doors should have closed. And I heard the people in here is longing for something to happen. And if one come in and get saved. You know what I would love? I would love to be able to say, hey, they come in and they get saved just start coming in the door at 10 o'clock and start getting saved. Not even have a Sunday school lesson. People still coming in. People that used to come here years ago and is out of church. Yes, they probably got saved here, but they got hurt and they're out of church today. They come in. And they will not sit down until they come up into the front and pray and then just turn back around to the people and says, I'm back. And I'm back to serve God. I just soon to get up here every Sunday and open my Bible and read a couple verses and then the people in the house just start testifying, start waving their hands, start shouting, and I never get to open my mouth. Because when God comes down, when He preaches through the people, that's what you call God preaching. That's when God gets a hold of the people's hearts. And the first time, this is my prayer, the first time that I drain water, we drained water in the baptistry back there.
My prayer is to have more than one to be baptized. But not only that, then maybe that afternoon we may have to drain the water out. But then come Wednesday night or Sunday night, somebody else come up and get saved. Somebody gets saved in the house of God every week. You know something? You could say that to people, and you know what they'll turn around and they'll say to me? It'll never happen today. It can happen, and it will happen, but we have to have that vision. We have to have that kind of faith. Because see, God's put His faith in us. He's put His faith in us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we will do what we promised Him that we would do. So in the book of Genesis, I can't remember if it's chapter 19 or chapter 39, talking about Jacob. When Jacob used to follow God and Jacob loved God and everything, but then Jacob forgot about all the things that he had promised God. He forgot about the vows that he made unto God. He forgot about the promises. He forgot about and saying to God, said, God, I'm there, I'm with you all the way. Just like Peter did. Well, see, God knew their heart. God knows the intention of each one of our hearts today. And I do not believe that God allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction on an individual soul that they may come to an altar and accept Jesus Christ as a Savior for them to come into church. Just be a few more. We have got a job to do. If we don't do it, who else is going to do it? Can we depend on the church up the road to do it? Can we depend on the one across town to do it? You can't. We have to look at ourselves. Can God depend on me? Can God depend on me? And I'm saying that question to myself. Can God depend on me? I hope and pray He can. But He's going to have to draw me up closer to Him. Every day, closer and closer to Him every day. Because I don't want to be like a Peter that goes out here, leaves church tonight, and then go out to Lowe's tomorrow, and then I see somebody that I used to work with years ago, and when I was in sin, and here they are there here telling dirty and filthy jokes and everything. I don't want to be like Peter that, well, oh, I heard that you one of these fanatics out here. I heard that you've been called to preach, and you out here one of these churches preaching. You're a fanatic. I said, you call me anything you want to, I'm a fanatic here. I'm crazy too. But I'm crazy for the right reason. And I will tell them, I say, yes, I love my Lord and my Savior. And I'll do anything I can for Him and for you. Because He's done more for me than I have ever asked anybody to ever do for me. All the blessings that He's brought to my way, but am I going to be like Peter and say, oh, that's another dynamic you talking about, or preach, I want you to come on that. That's another dynamic idea. Basically the same thing with Peter done. He denied it. Then turn around and walk with them again. But see, God knew Peter's heart. God, Peter was using his mind, he was using his brain up here. See, God knew Peter. God knew that he was going to make Peter one of the greatest preachers that there was, and he was going to preach one of the greatest messages that has ever been preached. And that was on the day of Pentecost. He preached the message. He preached the message there that day. And everybody today, they get that message so mixed up, and they take it out of context and everything. And they say, well, yeah, oh, Peter, he spoke in tongues. No, it doesn't say that Peter spoke in tongues. It says different language. Might as well say it's talking about the tongues. But see, that's what the tongue is. The tongue is the language that we speak. It's what he was talking about. Because while Peter was there, standing before the multitudes of thousands of people, preaching the gospel to the whosoever, then as they come in and as they gathered around, they had their leader. They had one, somebody there that could interpret, could speak and understand the same language that Peter was speaking. And they could understand that. And then they started interpreting it to their sect of people, to their the kind of people that they was under and everything. Whatever it was, the Greek, to the Jew, the Gentile, it didn't make no difference. They all heard the gospel, but they heard it in their own language. They heard it in their own language. And people today, they get the scripture all messed up. Hey, only thing I can say is what the scripture says is what it says. I know sometimes I may bring a little more into it, but what that is my thought. Just going a little further and saying, can you imagine about this? Talking about that little lad over there in John chapter 6. Where that little lad left home at morning. I don't know where he was going. But I do know this. He was going to stay for a while. Because his mother packed him a lunch. He probably just didn't pack him a lunch. He probably packed him a supper or meals twice a day or something like that. Because he had bread and he had fish to eat. So evidently it doesn't mention anything about his mother and his father there in John chapter 6. Evidently his father must have been a fisherman. His father must got up early every morning and went down to the riverbank and caught fish every day. Because that was the type of food that they ate. While he was there fishing, his son was gone off, maybe to school. I don't know where he was gone. But he was going off probably to learn something. Or going into town or get something for the mother or the father. But no doubt it doesn't say anything about what the mother done. Does it? But evidently she must have been a cook. She fried the fish. She had loaves of bread there. They give it to her son and says, now you go and you take these today. This is something for you today to eat on. You don't have to worry about getting hungry. You have bread to eat. You have meat to eat. See, that doesn't say it right here. But see, we don't know everything that goes on. We just got a glimpse of what God is really speaking. We've just got a little glimpse of it. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to come to find out a whole lot of things that we thought was right. Maybe not be right. Some things that we thought was wrong in God's sight. After we get there, we're going to find out it wasn't wrong. See, Jesus, who did Jesus go to? He went to all. He went to the whosoever. He didn't go to the religious people because he knew that he could not do anything to the religious people. He knew he couldn't say anything to get the religious crowd out here to listen. That's just like today. I mean, I've had people ask me, says, well, you know, they told me one time, says, well, you're not supposed to go and preach in some of these other denominations out here when I was just going out here and just preaching every time the door was open. I said, well, you want you to show me some scripture. You show me in my Bible here, not yours, but my Bible, and it's the King James Bible. You show it here in my Bible. It says for me just to go into a certain denomination. Did you want me to just go into an independent fundamental Baptist church and preach? God did not call me to just to go into an independent fundamental Baptist church. God told me to go and preach the gospel. Then God burdened me down by pastor. And then that's when I had to get down to the point. I said, God, I prayed about it. I asked God. I said, God, I just need your leadership on this. Where do you want me to pastor? The first church was down at Glen Hill. And I know it's a Southern Baptist. I've done it for 3 years. 12 individuals got saved within them 3 years. It did not change my style of preaching. It did not change anything at all about me. They thought I was crazy. They thought sometimes I was up in the pulpit. They made sure that I was drinking. They made sure that I was taking something because I wasn't one that just stood up here and just read. Well, I'd like for you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. And there was a great cry of the people. No, I got excited about what I was preaching. You want to tell you the reason why? Because I was at my second birth. I knew what happened at my second birth. I like what you said. You didn't know anything about your first birth. I didn't either. I can tell you the day of it, the day. I don't even know the time. To me, all that's immaterial. My first birth, yes, it means something. That's when I was birthed into the Mahan family. But my second birth, when I was birthed into God's family. When I was birthed into God's family, oh man, I did not realize what kind of family that I would have. I didn't realize that I had somebody that would take care of me. I didn't realize I had somebody there that once I failed, and if I bruised my knee or scratched my knee or if I got hurt, I didn't realize I had somebody there comfort me and take care of me. He took care of me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody else would. Yes, my mother would have, if she was around, if she was there. And if I was to God during the night crying or saying, I heard or something like that, yes, she'd have come to my aid. Jesus Christ is my spiritual rock. But I thank God. Not only is Jesus Christ my spiritual rock, but he gave me a wife that's my natural wife. She can sense it in me when I'm hurting, when sometimes I don't even know it. I mean, they sensed it yesterday afternoon after I got home. They weren't in with that.
I got home and I was just kind of laying back on the couch there. And my wife and my daughter both says, "What's the matter?" They finally guessed it. They finally guessed it. But hey, I couldn't. You cannot do anything that somebody don't know about, especially if they love you. God loves me. I can't hide anything from God. No one can. Yes, we want to try. But you know what? If you love with God, you don't want to try. You just want to say, "God, yes. I just need you a little closer. I just need you a little closer." I thank God every day for what life He's given me. I know the 30 years of my life wasn't for Him, but I've tried my very best for the last 34 and a half years, almost 35 years, to do what He's asked me to do. I failed Him every day. But I don't fail Him to the point of where He's going to keep me out of church. I'm going to be in church somewhere. If it ain't here, I'm going to be in church somewhere. If I'm not in church somewhere, here or wherever, it's because I'm in the hospital or because something happened over the Friday or Saturday or something like that, and my family may have to go and visit this old wrinkled up, corrupt body at the funeral home. That's the only way that I won't be in church. I love church. I love God's people. I do. I love God's people, and I love each and every one of you. I know I don't tell you, but I do. And I hope each one of you knows that if any of y'all, if you need me, if you need somebody to talk to, or if you need me or whatever, during the night, it don't make no difference. This is one preacher that's not on a time clock. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, unless it's leap year, it's going to be 366 days. I can always be reached somehow. Because I've got an answering machine at the house. If you call me at the house, if I happen not to be there, my wife will probably be there. She'll pick it up. She'll call me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give each one of you, I think I've got enough cards tonight that I'm going to give you. This has my cell phone number on it. You call me. You call me. You can ask my wife. You can call me anytime. I've come to the hospital. I've come to your home. Me and my wife will come, whatever you want. And still, I want to still let you know that I myself cannot and won't. It's not that I can't. It's not that I can't. It's not that I don't want to. But I believe that I have scripture to back me up on it. I don't need to go out
and visit nobody by myself. There's too many preachers just not preaching today because of that. And I've seen some where they was, there's good preachers, no intentions at all ever having that, but you know what? As far as anybody knowing it and saying that I've done something, then I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about that per se. What I am worried about, I'm worried about the other individuals that's not in church. And if they was to see me going to someone's home and knows it's just a lady there, they will end up visiting the church. I know several preachers that that's happened to. One of them was the finest preacher that I've ever known. And I believe him to this day. He just went into an individual's home and he went there to see the couple, the husband and wife. But when he got there, the husband walked out. He had ended up leaving because one of the children, something happened to the vehicle and he had to go and pick them up and get the car towed. I believe him today is just as much as I'm standing here. But a family of four individuals come to the church that he was pastor of. They come to the church. Within 3-4 weeks, they came and they joined the church. Within a month and a half, that preacher had to resign because of the lies of this family. Why? Because they didn't believe like he believed. They didn't believe in eternal security. He did. He preached eternal security. Once saved, always saved. And he'd tell anybody today, if he was living. He says, how in the world would anybody ever would want to follow someone that can't keep you out of harm's way? And he says, they're trusting by eyesight. That's the difference. I was trusting by faith. I knew that God loved me, and I felt sorry for his family, because it took a long time for him and his family to get back to where they used to be. Just because of this one family running him down, because he went out by himself and visit a couple supposed to be. And I don't know. It could have been a whole plan all along to see if he would do it. They just didn't like it. So they ruined him. He gave up the church. He didn't give up on God. He found another local church where he went to and he talked to the preacher before he even visited the church. And he said, I just need to talk to you. And he said that he talked to him
for a good while. And he told them who to thank the world before all the accusations, I mean, accusations against him. He found a room to watch. He was ministry and everything.
Father, I pray that you'll give them the rest that they need. And
some goes to labor, the labor force this week. We pray, Father, Lord, that you'll just give them the strength. Give them, Father, the encouragement to keep on going. Father, help us, O Lord, that we may share something with someone else. Give us something about what God has done for us. And Lord, that we may just maybe to invite someone to church. And if they may say, well, I don't go to church and I won't be there. Father, you didn't ask us to worry about that. You asked us to go and thank the Word. Father, we go and thank the Word, you do the work. You'll cultivate that heart. You'll bring the Word forth in that heart. You'll bring this seed forth. That they will get to thinking about things that they never thought about before. And Father, yes, and they will come. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will do it one more time here. The faith that you've done years ago. Father, I know that we're living in the 21st century. I know, Father, that we're living in a time that it seems like people just have all the time in the world to do. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that we don't have much time left. And we must do what we can do, and we must do it now. And we must do it quickly. So Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us to live the life before the world, that the light that you shine in the heart may illuminate around us, that they can sense the presence of thy light. Let our light so magnetize to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Actually, Donna don't have it. I've got it on my phone, but she don't have it.